Amen. Cindy, God bless you. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 8 and verse 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Let me say this again a little bit better this time. I want to share a message with you. Believing is the beginning, not the end of salvation. Believing is the beginning, not the end of salvation. We are here in John chapter 8. The Lord Jesus, if you will remember, in verse 12, said, "I am the light of the world." And then we saw last Sunday morning multiple occasions in which Jesus said, I am, declaring himself to be God in the flesh. And every time that Jesus would make one of these declarative statements, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am he. The Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, would always be there to confront him and to dispute his claims. However, as we ended last Sunday morning, there were some Jews, according to John chapter 8 and verse 30, who believed in him. But remember, believing is the beginning, not the end of salvation. And so we pick up today in verse 31, and Jesus is speaking to those who believed in him last week in verse 30. Look at verse 31 in your text. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So as we think about a true follower of Christ, and that believing is the beginning, not the end of salvation, consider this first characteristic mentioned in verse 31. A true follower of Christ perseveres in life. A true follower of Christ perseveres in life. When the going gets tough, they don't get going. They persevere. Look at Jesus' words there in verse 31. If you abide, or your translation may say remain, or your translation may say persevere. If you abide in my word, then... this is a characteristic of a true follower of Christ. Believing is the beginning, but that's not the end of salvation. A true follower of Christ perseveres in life. Needless to say, not just our church, Emory Baptist Church, but the church of the living God everywhere. Since 2020, has undergone a lot of change. And some have even said that COVID served as a purging of the body of Christ. Now, of course, only time will tell of that. But I want you to look around this morning. Look around to your right and to your left, and are there some people that you don't see that you used to see? Are there some people that are brought to your mind that they seem to be a follower of Christ? They seem to be active in the local body. But my goodness, we haven't seen them in months now. Now, of course, certainly there are exceptions. There are those who have had health challenges that have kept them away, and rightfully so. But what about those who have gone every place else in the world and yet, since 2022, we haven't seen them at Emory Baptist Church? They don't seem to be persevering in life. Now, of course, only God can judge, and you can never know for certain about someone until they don't have an opportunity to return. But John, the writer of this gospel, and also the writer of his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he had a word to say about these individuals. Listen to 1st John chapter 2 and verse 19. John the apostle wrote, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." And so I'm wondering if that evaluation of COVID being a great purging of the body of Christ, I wonder who that is true about here at Emory Baptist Church. We should worry about these folks. We should pray for these folks. We should reach out to these folks. We should encourage these folks. But if they never return, Scripture says they were never of us in the first place. You see, a true follower of Christ perseveres in life. Secondly, notice this. A true follower of Christ is pure in his living. Verse 32. "And you shall know the truth," and we know this, "and the truth shall" what? "Make you free." We've heard that before. "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?'" You have to wonder, did you forget about Egypt? Had they forgotten about Babylon? Had they forgotten about the Romans here in the first century? What do you mean you've never been in bondage to anyone? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides in the house forever." Notice this, verse 36. Jesus changes what he said in verse 32 to verse 36. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free," Son, capital S. You know what that tells me, Brother Rich? It tells me that Jesus is the truth. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because he changes from verse 32 to verse 36, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed." When Jesus Christ comes into your life, he doesn't make you perfect, but he does make you perfectible. Let me say that again. He doesn't make you perfect, but he does make you perfectible, meaning that you now have a desire, if you're a true follower of Christ, to leave your old way of living behind and to no longer be a slave to sin, because now I'm not a slave, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. And a daughter of the King. Paul picks up on this idea in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Listen to this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Is it alcohol? Is it pornography? Is it drug addiction? What is the skeleton in your closet that always tries to find its way out in your weakest moment? Jesus says that a true follower of Christ is pure in his living, not because of who the follower is, but because of who Jesus is. For if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Number three, a true follower of Christ has a paternal likeness. A true follower of Christ has a paternal likeness. I don't know if you have ever met my dad. But my dad, Jimmy Piles, if you've ever gotten close enough to see, has blue eyes. And I have blue eyes. A paternal likeness to my father. And we as sons and daughters of our heavenly Father ought also to have a paternal likeness. Look at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Now Jesus is fixing to throw them the curveball of all curveballs, and they don't even see it coming. They're like, well, yeah, we're descendants of Abraham. Yeah, we are going to be like our father. That's what they said in verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, what were the works of Abraham? Well, the works of Abraham were faith and obedience. Or we like to sing it in a timeless hymn. Trust and what? Obey. Listen to what James says in James chapter 2 and verse 21. James chapter 2 and verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You see, brothers and sisters, believing is the beginning but not the end of salvation. You see, if you are a true follower of Christ, the paternal likeness that you will have with your heavenly Father is believing, but it will also be obeying. Obeying what your heavenly Father tells you to do. A true follower of Christ perseveres in life. A true follower of Christ is pure in his living. A true follower of Christ has a paternal likeness. Notice number 4 in verse 40. A true follower of Christ is passionate about the Lord. Jesus continues this idea of paternal likeness, and he says, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Again, they're looking around. What? Abraham's our father. You just said we didn't do the deeds of our father. Well, if we're doing the deeds of our father, who then is our father? Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication." Low blow. Low blow. They were playing dirty. Because of what they knew about Joseph and Mary and Jesus. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." Are you passionate about the Lord? Jesus says there again in verse 42, "If God were your father, you would love me." There are many people in our culture, in our world today, they're passionate about God, they're passionate about spiritual things, but Jesus says, "You can't know God without knowing me." No one comes to the Father, Jesus says later in John 14, except through the Son. And of course, we know that in our world today, people are passionate about so many things. They're passionate about sports. They're passionate about political affiliation. They're passionate about climate change. They're passionate about saving whomever, fill in the blank. But are we passionate about the Lord? Do we love Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And does that invade every area of our lives because of our passion for Jesus? Then number 5, a true follower of Christ is perceptive in their listening. Verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." They heard Jesus, but they weren't listening. Verse 44, here's the curveball. Are you ready for it? Verse 44, "You are of your father the devil." You can claim to be biological descendants of Abraham, but spiritually, the devil is your father. "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Brothers and sisters, you need to know that. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil is going to accuse you with lies from the very beginning, just like he started in Genesis 3. And he's going to lie to you. He's going to lie about you. Because he is the father of lies. Verse 45, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. This truth that their father was the devil, it got all over them. I mean, just bristling. Verse 46, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You ever try to explain the Bible to a lost person? Almost impossible. Lost people can't understand spiritual truth beyond that they are a sinner and Jesus died on the cross for them. A true follower of Christ is perceptive in listening. Listening to God speak to you through His Word that He has given for us. Well, the chapter ends beginning in verse 48. And to say that the Jews were incensed would be an understatement. Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? You're a heretic, Jesus. And you are demon possessed. By the way, that's not the first time that they had accused Jesus of having a demon. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Never see spiritual death. If you call on the name of the Lord to save you. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known me, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. I mean, their heads are spinning now. How did you see Abraham? You're not that old. Verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. In reality, we know he was in his early 30s. You're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And of course, the pre-incarnate Christ did see Abraham. Listen to what Jesus said. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. dare you? This was blasphemy. Jesus undeniably making himself out to be God. And consequently, verse 59, they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. It wasn't God's timing yet for them to take Jesus' life. But brothers and sisters in Christ, can I ask you this morning, was believing the end of your salvation? I hope not. I pray not. Hopefully, believing was the beginning. And according to the words of Christ here, persevering in life, pure in our living, having a paternal likeness to our Heavenly Father, passionate about the Lord, and perceptive in listening and obeying God. I pray that that's also true of us as followers of Christ who want to live a life honoring of Him. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, today I would invite you to admit that you're a sinner. Today I would invite you to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, because it's your sin that separates you from a holy God. And you do not have the means or the resources to go to God on your own, but Jesus has died in your place. And if today you would call on the name of the Lord to save you, He will. Just like He has done for countless folks in the room this morning. In just a few moments after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing a song of commitment, a hymn of invitation. And I would invite you this morning, if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, to step out of one of these aisles, make your way here to the front. I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. We'd love to greet you, welcome you, counsel with you, help you take these next steps of putting your faith in Christ, becoming a true follower of Christ, living a life that is honoring of Him. Maybe you're a guest this morning and you've been visiting Emory Baptist Church and God has telling you, this is where I want you to plant your life, plant your family, be a part of this congregation formally and officially. We'd love to welcome you today if you know Christ as Savior and you follow through with believer's baptism. If you need to respond publicly in some other way to God's Word and God's Spirit this morning, we would invite you to come. Believing is the beginning, brothers and sisters, not the end of salvation. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word, for how it reminds us of how we should live as followers of Christ, how we should live after we have put our belief and trust in you. And so, Lord, stain these words of yours on our hearts this morning. Remind us of them throughout the week, of what is a true follower of Christ. And Lord, may we be found faithful. Father, if there are those within the sound of my voice this morning who haven't put their faith and trust in Christ, Lord, I pray even now you would be convicting them of their lostness, drawing them unto you and giving them the gift of faith to believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life. I pray, Father in heaven, you'd give courage and boldness to those guests who need to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church. Boldness and courage to be obedient in following your lead. Father, help us all to be bold and courageous in living a life that is honoring of you when we leave this place. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us, Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front to welcome you. We would invite you to respond.